Sound okay? Sounds great. Excited? Super excited, I replied enthusiastically.
Wonderful. Then, without further ado, let me reveal the first principle. We've pretty much covered it already, but I need to share it with you as the formal law it was originally formulated as.
You need no title to be a leader.
I know by now you totally get this, but here it all is, summarized in that single and simple line.
Understood, I said gratefully.
Now, the five rules that I'll reveal to help you remember that you need no title to be a leader can be neatly summarized by the acronym IMAGE. These five letters stand for the elusive algorithm of leadership. Work and live by this little-known code that distills what real leadership is all about, and you're guaranteed breathtaking results.
Can't wait to learn this, Anna. You're saying that for anyone to show leadership without a title, they only need to follow these five rules?
I am, Blake. IMAGE truly is the elusive algorithm of leadership, she repeated. We've spent a fair amount of time discussing why you should lead in this time of remarkable upheaval and radical uncertainty. IMAGE distills the how in five easy steps. If you've ever wondered how to do leadership, here it is, in its most simple yet powerful form.
I'm all ears.
Okay. The I in IMAGE will remind you about the importance of innovation. We live in what I sometimes call Remake Nation. Yes, America is a superbly creative country that has given birth to many of the world's greatest advancements and finest inventions. But too many of us in business here have lost the fire within our bellies for genuine innovation. We've stopped flexing our imaginations well past the point of normal. We've dropped our lust for creativity and our drive to be different. Just look at all the remakes of old movies or outdated songs, and you'll get the point I'm trying to offer you. People are just too scared to be original these days. So they try to repackage a formula that was successful a few decades ago, with the hope of staying safe. But that's such a silly business strategy. Innovation always trumps repeating what might have worked in the past. Doing what worked even a year or two ago amid the terrifically unpredictable conditions under which we now do business is a good way to get into some bad trouble. Customers and all the people around you want fresh value and novel forms of excellence, not a repackaging of old goods. One of the bold things you can do when you get back to your bookstore is to devote yourself to daily and relentless progress. All leaders without a title constantly flex their minds and elevate their abilities by consistently asking themselves, "What can I improve today?" They have a deeply held commitment to making everything they touch better than they found it, and to constantly reinventing themselves along the way. That's the essence of innovation, Blake. Innovation sounds complex, but it really is simply about consistently making everything a whole lot better than you found it. Actually, the clearest way I can define innovation and creative mastery is to be all about making this day better than yesterday.
I really like that line, make this day better than yesterday. My career couldn't help but soar if I committed to seriously making that happen, I offered hopefully.
Definitely right about that, Blake, added Tommy, suddenly awake from a quick doze on the couch. Your career will also fly when you commit to being the opposite of ordinary in all the work that you do. Be a visionary. See into the future in a business landscape where most people stay stuck in the past. And don't be afraid of shattering your routines. Relentlessly rethink the way you work. Constantly be asking yourself questions like, how can I boost my productivity? How can I work faster? And how can I wow my customers even more? Regularly put yourself in the shoes of your buyers and experience what it's like to do business with you. Then set about to take that experience to a completely new level of world class.
Just wake up every morning and be all about daily iteration, making each thing you do a little bit better than it was the day before, Anna added. Develop an innovation mindset, so making your present better than your past is just the way you think. Also remember that if you're not chasing excellence and passionate innovation,
Mediocrity is already on its way to get you. Avoid what I call mediocrity creep, that subtle and dangerous descent into being average that infects your work without your even knowing it. Just as growth is invisible and incremental, so is falling into the habit of being ordinary, as Tommy just suggested. So become ever so engaged in reinventing things and improving each thing that you do. Without innovation, life is death, and only the brave will survive these days. Definitely keep challenging yourself to see things as you dream of seeing them, and truly being that visionary that my cute friend over here mentioned. The inner leader within you aches to be a visionary, you know?
Thanks, babe, Tommy responded gleefully.
I also should add that the best way to improve the way you work and the organization you work for isn't really through revolution, Anna noted.
Revolution? I questioned, not quite sure where the conversation was going.
What I mean is that the best way for you to get to your next level of excellence in your work isn't by some revolutionary idea or some radical initiative. Great careers and great businesses are built by evolution. By slow and steady improvements that actually don't look like much when you view them in isolation. But over time, these small, incremental, evolutionary improvements amount up to massive gains. Daily ripples of superior performance add up over time to a tidal wave of outrageous success. Please remember that getting to your leadership best comes down to simply doing a few smart moves each day that stack up to an unimaginable achievement over a period of time.
Tommy mentioned that at the cemetery, I replied. It's a big idea for me, Anna, and it makes me feel like I can make the changes, because all I need to do is start off small and then just do little improvements every day. Anyone can do that, no matter what their career or their lives look like this very moment.
Dream big, yet start small, Blake. That's the key. And start now, exactly where you're at. I shared the daily incremental gains idea with Tommy years ago, and I'm so pleased he shared it with you, because it's such an important one for anyone ready to make changes. Small steps over time generate big results. And failure, on the other hand, comes from a few daily acts of neglect that over time lead to disaster.
So, if I take those small little steps each day, I'll eventually get to success? I asked, seeking some validation from Anna.
Without a doubt. Success will actually come automatically, just by performing those little advancements with consistency. Simply remember this line. Small daily improvements over time lead to stunning results. I call it the multiplier effect. Doing intelligent little acts each and every day accelerates with time to an unimaginable state of success. It's sort of like compound interest. If, when you are young, you go down to your bank every day and make tiny, seemingly insignificant deposits, by the magic of compounding, over time, you'll become rich. So when it comes to high-performance leadership and expressing your absolute best, it's the same thing. Small little leadership acts really will compound into breathtaking consequences.
And as I was saying on the subject of innovation, the powerful idea is to just dedicate yourself to being all about consistent, focused, and never-ending improvement.
Just don't get caught up in the habit that is human nature to fall into, growing complacent. As a matter of fact, the more successful you become, the more hungry you need to be. Not only as a person, but also as an organization. Nothing fails like success, because the higher you rise, the easier it becomes to stop pushing the envelope, challenging the status quo, and keeping your focus. Sure, it's human nature to try and reach a place where things don't change, where we can coast along, where everything is certain. This gives us a sense of control and security, but I have to tell you, Blake, it's such a false sense of security. In the new world of business, the riskiest place you can be is trying to do the same things in the same way as you've always done them.
Few things are as foolish as hoping old behaviors will somehow present new results.
Why?
Because that means you're not innovating. You're not doing your part to make things better. You're not creating superior value. And that means that rather than evolving to ever-increasing levels of excellence, you are slipping deeper into old patterns of stagnation. And that's when your competition eats you for breakfast, observed Anna, sounding surprisingly strong in this moment. Choose innovation over stagnation, and you'll be just fine in this crazy, busy business world we're in now. Choose calculated risk-taking versus operating the same old way, and you'll do great. You'll be awesome, actually.
Got it. Makes perfect sense. So what's the M in image stand for? I asked.
Mastery, Anna offered. Committing yourself to mastery at what you do. Mastery at your craft, whether your craft is selling staplers or educating children, is the only standard to operate under in these change-rich times. Anything less, and you'll be left behind. The comedian Steve Martin said it really well when he advised, be so good that people cannot ignore you.
Love it. Always liked him. And it's definitely inspiring to hear that when I deliver my leadership best, even if I have no title, I cannot be ignored, I replied, feeling a rush of energy on hearing more of Anna's commentary.
That's wonderful to hear that, Blake. Look, if the people you work with and the people you serve only like you, you'll probably not last that long in this age of intense competition. You want people to love you, to adore you, to worship the very ground you stand on because you are so staggeringly good at what you do. And the only standard that will get you there is the standard of mastery.
Something about that word that feels so right to me, added Tommy.
He then reached into his pocket and pulled out a rumpled picture of the Washington Monument.
Here, look at this, Blake. It's an architectural marvel, Tommy continued. People said a structure this visionary could not be built, but the architect who imagined it, Robert Mills, got the job done against all odds. Leaders get the job done, no matter what. And so this photo is my daily reminder to pay zero attention to the chattering voices of the naysayers and to simply walk out into my days devoted to working at mastery.
Nothing less than my very best, reminded Anna. That's what mastery looks like to me, Blake. I encourage you to be an FMOB, she said, giving Tommy a fast wink.
An FMOB? I asked, never hearing this term before. They both giggled.
I think he will be a great FMOB, noted Tommy, not letting me in on the source of their amusement.
I think Blake will definitely be a wonderful FMOB, she laughed, still holding me out of what seemed to be their secret little world.
They high-fived each other.
Would one of you please tell me what an FMOB is? I pleaded.
An FMOB is someone who is devoted to being the first, the most, the only, and the best. FMOB. And we both think you're already on your way to becoming one, Anna observed in an uplifting and most supportive tone of voice.
We definitely do, Blake the Great,
said Tommy with sparkling eyes that radiated his faith in me. Suddenly he started to cough uncontrollably. His face lost all color, and his gaze fell blank.
You okay, Tommy?
Screamed Anna, rushing to his side. She grabbed one of his hands, her expression showing deep concern. I could tell she was scared. I also ran over to Tommy, kneeling on the floor beside him and passing him a bottle of water.
It's starting, isn't it?
She asked, as her voice quivered.
You said this wouldn't happen for a long time, Tommy. You promised me this wouldn't happen for a long time.
I'm fine,
he said stoically, regaining his composure and sitting upright.
It's just a cough. Nothing to be worried about at all. Now, can we please get back to the business of building the leader without a title standing in front of us? Time's passing, I'm fine.
Really, he insisted.
Really?
Questioned Anna, still looking worried.
Really,
confirmed Tommy, clearing his throat as he looked out the window.
Okay. Well then, Blake,
continued Anna, doing her best to forget what had just occurred and return to our dialogue on the imperative of standing for mastery at work.
The starting point of moving to mastery is to raise the expectations you set for yourself. Just make the commitment to be the first, the most, the only, and the absolute best. Expect more from yourself than anyone around you could ever expect from you. Play in the big leagues, Blake. Just fly up into the thin space of rare air. Most people set such low standards for themselves. They aim so low, and then, sadly, reach that goal. And so you'll find that you don't have a lot of company out on the extra mile.
Are you actually suggesting that it's easier to work at mastery than at ordinary, Anna? I wondered aloud.
That's a great way to language it, Blake. And yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. There's a lot less competition on the extra mile because so few people even believe they can play there. Many fewer commit to spending their careers there, and so, as you say, it actually becomes easier to be there.
I guess most of us are too afraid to set lofty, ambitious ones and then fail, I suggested.
Correct, Blake. But why play the game if you're not in it to win it? I'd encourage you to set the standard of being B.I.W. in the work you do and within the life you live.
B.I.W.? No idea what that means, Anna, I replied. And man, you guys love your acronyms.
I know,
Anna agreed.
They become addictive after a while, Blake. And they really do form a whole leadership language of sorts that those of us leading without a title begin to speak to each other. Anyway, B.I.W. just means best in world. In my work here at this hotel, I continually ask myself a very powerful self-coaching question. What would the person who is the best in the world at what I do be doing in this very moment? Once I get the answer, I immediately refocus myself and get down to the business of doing only that which will create the largest results and the biggest impact. My goal here, each and every day, is to be the best in the world at my craft of housekeeping. And that's how I continually move closer toward mastery,
Anna shared confidently. You really do see housekeeping as a craft, don't you?
Absolutely. It is a craft to me. And so I work at it every day to get better and to reach more of my hidden genius. I continually challenge myself to outperform the me of yesterday. I'm so dedicated to getting to mastery as a housekeeper. That idea so turns me on, and I should mention that being extraordinary in your work is one of the true secrets of happiness.
Seriously?
Definitely. Few things feel as good as the pride you feel on a job masterfully done. And doing world-class work is also part of the purpose of life, you know?
Said Anna, sounding a little philosophical. How so? I asked with great interest. As so many of the struggles I'd faced personally over the past years were because I felt no purpose in life.
Work offers you a daily platform to discover the leader within. It's a chance every day to reclaim more of the potential you've buried and to awaken the dormant relationship between the current you and your absolute best. It's an opportunity to express more of your latent creativity and a whole lot more of your precious humanity. And presenting more of the genius and brilliance you truly are to those around you, so that, in your own special way, you help more people, is pretty much the main purpose of life. And that's why I suggest that doing world-class work is also part of the central purpose of life.
I grew silent. I looked over at Tommy, who still appeared unsettled, though he had a wise expression on his face. He was nodding in agreement with Anna's words. In that moment, it struck me that work wasn't at all something that is merely a vehicle to pass the time and pay my bills. It was a gift, and a spectacular way to access my leadership best, and in so doing, not only become a happier human being, but also to make the world a better place in the process.
Oh, I should also confirm, in case you have any doubt, that every one of us has the potential to be geniuses at what we do. Most of us just don't believe this truth. But beliefs are nothing more than thoughts we've repeated over and over until we've made them into personal truths. And the really sad thing is that every belief inevitably becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whether you think something is possible or impossible, you'll most certainly be right. Because your belief determines your behavior. The real truth is that each one of us has pure genius within us. but we all set up these blocks between who we currently are and who we are meant to be. Blocks like our limiting beliefs about our abilities, and barriers like all the daily distractions we fill our lives with, in the end amount to nothing. One of the best moves you can make is to methodically remove all the walls standing between you and your genius, which will lead to you becoming more intimate with your very best you.
Anna continued, her voice rising with passion.
A key element of the quest to be your leadership best is to become more connected to those moments where your natural genius most fully presents itself. Live for those moments, and you'll begin to experience more of them. And by the way, Blake, if you really owned how awesome you are, you'd probably be in shock for days. All but the greatest among us have disowned the brilliance we house within ourselves and buried the creative giant that is our true nature. People don't work and live at average because they are average. They behave that way because they've forgotten who they truly are. They've actually bought into the false thoughts the people around them have taught them and started to perceive themselves as unspecial and non-genius. And because that's how they now view themselves, they now act in that way. Remember, Blake, you will never behave in a way that's inconsistent with your self-image. Your thought choices determine your performance results. Your mental architecture and the way you process outer conditions will elevate you to mastery or cause you to sink into mediocrity. So see yourself as capable of nothing less than brilliant.
Because belief about my lack of awesomeness and inability to play at mastery becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I asked.
Right, said Anna. Successful people have successful thinking patterns, and the best leaders run superb leadership habits. A number of studies have confirmed that it takes about 10,000 hours to become a master at something.
Never heard that before, but sounds intriguing, I offered. Let's hear more.
I first read about it in an article in the Harvard Business Review entitled The Making of an Expert, and it's a powerful idea. The feature was on how top performers in fields ranging from athletics to music create their stellar results. It revealed that every world-class expert had one thing in common. They'd each invested approximately 10,000 hours polishing their skill. The learning point for us is that each of us has the potential to arrive at a place of mastery in the work we do. But it generally takes about 10,000 hours of focused effort and deliberate practice on a specific craft to reach BIW.
Best in world, I stated, recalling the meaning of Anna's acronym.
Yes, Blake. The world's best golfers have spent about 10,000 hours on their golfing performance to get to world class at their game. The world's best scientists have immersed themselves in their subject for about 10,000 hours. And that devotion has made them appear so brilliant. The world's best artists have spent roughly 10,000 hours tightly concentrated on practicing their skills, and given that intensity of action, they reach the point where they play at genius. So focus married with time produces mastery. We all, as leaders without a title, have the ability to get to this seemingly unreachable place. Unfortunately, most of us not only disbelieve we can, but we also fail to put in the time required to do so.
Such helpful insights, Anna.
Thanks for the appreciation, Blake. If more people understood how great they could be, businesses, communities, and nations, organizations of every type, would operate at vastly superior levels of performance. Now, here's the real thing. 10,000 hours in a normal life that involves sleeping and spending time with people and other such daily pursuits adds up to about 10 years. So the 10,000-hour idea could just as easily be called the 10-year rule. You really need to focus on a particular job you want mastery at for about 10 years. That's the little-known formula for genuine world-class success. 10 years of focused effort and consistent practice. But how many people are willing to do that in this quick-fix world of ours?
Everyone wants the rewards right now. Yet mastery takes time, effort, and patience. And too many of us just don't make that commitment. Or they give up too early. And then they wonder why they never became superstars in their work.
And rather than taking personal responsibility for their failure to do what it takes, they make excuses and blame things like their boss, or the competitive nature of the industry they're in, or the people they have to work with, or the turbulent times around us, I added.
That's it, Blake. Or they blame their parents, or their histories, or the weather. Interesting how human beings protect themselves, and in so doing, destroy themselves. The only weather that matters is the weather within you. And the only economy that matters is the economy between your two ears.
I get it completely, Anna. Ultimately, each one of us alone is responsible for how we respond to the environment we find ourselves in. We can choose to reply to every scenario we face at wow, or we can retreat into average and stay stuck in the negative.
And along with the excuses we tend to make, we also allow ourselves to get distracted by a million little things that ultimately amount to nothing.
Yes. And that's just another tactic to avoid having to put in the focus and time to get to mastery. Procrastination is just another form of fear. Yet look at any pro athlete. They've spent the best hours of the best years of their lives making the sacrifices demanded by BIW. They got up early, they trained relentlessly, they practiced ferociously. While others watched television, they watched game tapes. While others ate pizza, they ate salads. While others were in warm beds, they were out running on cold days. But they were willing to do it, for their chance at greatness, to have a peek at their genius, and to realize more of their leadership best. Look at any superstar. Each of these people has one thing in common. They focused on getting really good at their craft for more than 10 years. They paid the price that success demands. They did whatever it took to get the job done. And so now the world calls them special or gifted. Not true at all, Anna exclaimed. We all have that capability within us. Few of us have the awareness and then the discipline to exercise it. And so we coast through our lives, mired in mediocrity.
Pretty sad, huh? Anna asked,
as she wiped a finger along a tabletop to check for any hint of dust.
Very sad, I agreed. Such a colossal waste of human talent. And all of this new information really does allow me to see my work at the bookstore so differently. Just hearing it all and the way you view your work here at this hotel is such a big leap for me. I now understand that I have the potential to be pure genius at bookselling.
Careful now, Tiger, said Tommy affectionately. Sounds like you have some plans to knock me off my top spot and head down to the Caribbean with a boatload of cash.
Actually, Tommy, that's exactly what I'm starting to think about, I responded, only half joking. Ever since I returned from the war, I haven't had any goals. I've had no sense of direction in my career. I really haven't had anything that gave me a reason to jump out of bed in the morning and start the fire of mastery within me.
Honestly, Anna, you've really flipped the switch for me. Thank you so much.
Of course, it's my pleasure, Blake the Great. I only hope that you'll tell everyone you know about the Lead Without a Title philosophy. Please. And also remember that all these ideas need to be acted on instantly if you are interested in seeing excellent results. Ideas are ultimately worthless unless you activate them with focused and consistent action. The best leaders never leave the sight of a good idea without doing something, no matter how small, to breathe some life into it. Lots of people have good ideas, but their masters become masters because they had the courage and conviction to act on ideas. A powerful idea is absolutely fascinating and utterly useless until we choose to use it, wrote Richard Bach. What really makes greatness is white-hot action around red-hot ideas. A genius idea alone has zero value. What makes it priceless is the quality of follow-through and the speed of execution around the genius idea. Actually, even a mediocre idea, excellently acted on, is more valuable than a genius idea poorly performed. Just starting something, whether that's a new initiative that will better your business, or extending a hand to a teammate you used to compete with, is such an intelligent move. Yes, that first step is the hardest, but once you take it, it'll only get easier. And every positive step that follows sets yet another positive consequence into play. Just start whatever it is that you know you need to do to take your work as well as your life to where you know it can be. I call this concept the courage of the start. Starting truly is the hardest part. Beginning is half the battle. So that takes all your will and inner strength. But then it gets easier. Small, consistent steps to drive momentum. Daily ripples of excellence over time become a tsunami of success. Every action has a consequence. Things start to move forward. Doors you didn't know existed begin to open for you. Success is so much a numbers game. The more action you take, the more results you'll see.
I remember reading that the space shuttle uses more fuel during its first 3 minutes after liftoff than during its entire voyage around the Earth, I observed.
Nice metaphor, Blake, Anna said cheerfully. That first step truly is always the hardest, because you are fighting the forces of gravity of your old thinking and habits. No human being likes change. We do love predictability. So anything new scares us and sets our internal systems into varying degrees of confusion and chaos. But you can't reach mastery unless you are always willing to take action to move things forward. A practical tool for you to use is what I call the Daily Five. Imagine doing five little yet important focused acts every day to get you closer to your most important goals.
I could easily make five little steps forward every day, I admitted.
That's the beauty of the Daily Five concept, Blake. Everyone can. Big changes are scary, but anyone can complete five tiny goals in a day. And small daily improvements over time really do lead to stunning results. After a month, that's about 150 goals you've realized. And after 12 months, you've achieved over 2,000 goals. Just imagine the level of confidence you'll have just 12 months from today if you achieved 2,000 goals. Just imagine what your next 12 months will look like, not only in your work at the bookstore, but also as it relates to your health, your relationships, and the other key areas of your life when you achieve 2,000 little but focused and meaningful outcomes.
My whole life will look different, I quickly agreed.
I felt so inspired by what I was hearing. I could do this. It really will, Blake. And you deserve to live a successful and happy life. You really do deserve to work and live in a way that expresses the absolute best within you and makes you feel like you matter in the most wonderful of ways, which elegantly brings me to the A in image.
Which stands for?
Authenticity. The old model of leadership, as I've mentioned, was very much about the power you got from the authority of your position and the influence you'd have from a title, as you've now learned so well. But in this radically new period of business, your ability to have an impact and make a contribution comes more from who you are as a person than from the authority you receive by your placement on some org chart. It's never been so important to be trustworthy. It's never been so important to be someone others respect. It's never been so important to keep the promises you make to your teammates and the customers. And it's never been so essential to be authentic. I should also add that it's never been so hard to show authenticity because of all this social pressure to be like everyone else. Media, our peers, and the world around us pound us relentlessly with messages designed to have us live their values versus our own. There's a huge pull to behave like the majority. But leadership really is about closing your ears to the noisy voices of others so you can more clearly hear the mission and call within yourself. Makes me think of the words of Dr. Seuss. Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. And that's what authenticity is all about, Blake. It's about feeling really safe in your own skin and learning to trust yourself so that you work under your values, express your original voice, and be the best you can be. It's about knowing who you are, what you stand for, and then having the courage to be yourself in every situation, rather than only when it's convenient. It's about being real, consistent, and congruent, so who you are on the inside is reflected by the way you perform on the outside. And being authentic and true to yourself also means that you meet your potential and work at brilliance, because that's what you truly are.
Tommy spoke up, and the great American Ralph Waldo Emerson reminds us, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment.
So true, Tommy, Anna expressed, nodding her head. You feeling better? She asked caringly.
Perfect, Tommy replied, glancing at his SpongeBob SquarePants watch to check the time. Anna sat down on the sofa next to Tommy. He put his arm around her.
In my spare time, I read a lot of business books. I get a lot of them from the training sessions I go to. I recall reading one by Jack Welch, and I've never forgotten a line he used. Don't lose yourself on the way to the top. Warren Buffett made the point equally neatly when he observed, there will never be a better you than you. And Oscar Wilde noted, be yourself. Everyone else is taken. Authenticity is one of the deepest things leaders without a title exemplify. Few things are as powerful when it comes to being a leader interested in positively influencing all those around you than being a person who's comfortable in your own self and fully presenting all you fully are, Anna offered passionately.
So, being authentic isn't just about being trustworthy, staying true to your mission and values and speaking honestly. It's clear that you're also saying that being authentic means realizing all my potential and really getting to know all that genius you said was inside me, I reiterated, paying strong attention to all I was learning.
Yes, Blake. To be authentic isn't just about being true to your values. Being authentic means being true to your talents. When you go to work every day and present your leadership best, that's a superb example of authenticity in action. And being in alignment. I can tell a person who is authentic a mile away. I can sniff their sincerity and sense their realness, and their passion for greatness touches the longing for greatness within me. And that allows me to relate to them, Blake. When you give yourself permission to be open, real, and brilliant around others, you give others permission to be open, real, and brilliant around you. Just being around you makes them feel safe and heroic. They begin to relax and open up. Trust grows, and amazing things start to happen.
Anna paused and took a sip of Tommy's coffee along with a nibble of chocolate.
Authenticity is about being true to who you are, even when everyone around you wants you to be someone else, said basketball great Michael Jordan. I remember reading his book, Driven from Within, when I still lived down in Buenos Aires. Extraordinary person, superb athlete, and he makes a key point. Stay committed to your mission, values, and the full self-expression of your inner leader, even when people doubt you. When people say you'll fail or suggest you're not good enough, stand strong in your own skin and don't let them tear you down. Because leadership has a lot to do with believing in yourself when no one else believes in you.
You like Jordan? I asked, a little surprised that this beautiful Argentinian housekeeper was a fan of this pro basketball star.
Uh-huh, Anna nodded with glee. And he's even cuter than Tommy over here.
Not funny, Tommy retorted, feigning irritation. He fixed his collar and pretended to primp his hair in an attempt to entertain us. Both Anna and I looked at each other and laughed.
And Bono, the U2 singer, spoke of the importance of authenticity in the new world of ours in these words. Please, let go of your ego. Please, be you and no one else. You are so beautiful how you are.
Splendid words, I admitted.
You are pretty beautiful, Anna,
Tommy quickly spoke up. Thanks, honey, she replied graciously. Just remember that the more you feed your ego, which is nothing more than the artificial part of you that you've constructed to receive approval from the majority and lose sight of who you really are at your core, the hungrier the ego will get.
So, our ego is the social part of ourselves that has grown the more we've tried to become the people the world around us wants us to be, versus the people we truly are, I stated.
Exactly, Blake. I remember reading a story of a student who met a wise elder from his community on the street one day. The young man admired the elder for his achievements as well as for his strength of character. He asked the wise man if he ever had weak thoughts and if he ever succumbed to the allure of the ego, which wants us to run our lives by superficial attractions like titles and social status. The elder replied, "Of course, I have weak thoughts, and my ego tries to get me off track every single day. This happens because I'm a human being. But I also have my authentic side, which is my essential nature and all I really am. That part of me creates the noble and brave thoughts and keeps me on track to become my greatest self. So it's almost as if I have two dogs inside me, a good dog that wants to lead me to where I dream of going, and that bad dog that tries to take me off my ideal path."
"So which one wins?" asked the young student.
"That's easy," replied the elder. "The one I feed the most."
"Great story," I replied, fully engaged and understanding the importance of authenticity to leadership excellence.
"Leaders without a title check their egos at the front door every morning before they walk into work. Rather than slavishly obsessing about pursuits like larger offices and bigger paychecks that society wants us to run our lives by, they harness their complete focus and awesome capabilities on doing their best work, making a difference in the lives of their teammates and customers, and building a better organization. Rather than defining their success by what they get, they define their success by what they give. That not only makes them special in the eyes of everyone around them, it also fills them up with such a sense of fulfillment and happiness. Because they know they are spending their lives well, in pursuit of a meaningful cause."
Anna stopped for a moment and glanced at her watch.
"Forgive me, Blake the Great. I'm going to have to get back to my work in a moment. But let me quickly finish up with the last two of the five rules in the IMAGE acronym. The G simply stands for the need to have guts in business. You need no title to be a leader, but you do need to have huge toughness and big guts. To lead without a title, you will have to be unrealistically persistent and wildly courageous. You'll need to dare more than the reasonable person and risk far more than the ordinary man. That's not as hard as it might sound. Every one of us has, at our core, a well of courage just begging to be tapped. We all want to be superheroes in some form or another, and have the capacity of character to keep going when everyone around us is ready to give up. You see, Blake, success truly is a numbers game. And those that become the best and brightest leaders in their work are those that develop the mindset of failure not being an option. Too many people throw in a towel on that new idea that will make the business better, or that new tactic that will bring the team closer, the second they face a little resistance. But the very nature of leadership is such that as you dream bigger dreams and act with greater mastery, you will meet with greater resistance. The more you leave your valleys of comfort and passionate pursuit of your mountains of opportunity, the more obstacles you'll face as you make your climb. Setbacks will happen. Things will go wrong. Competitors will try to knock you down. And even the people around you will try to discourage you. Those who are clinging to the old ways of doing things and frightened of change will join hands and become your loudest critics. They would claim you are doing something that's wrong, rocking the boat, and basically being abnormal.
And that would be true. Really?
Sure. To have the guts to see opportunities where others see challenges, and to envision things becoming a whole lot better while others grow complacent, is to become a visionary. And most of us are just
too scared to go there. More people are just too threatened by the change one needs to move through en route to a better version of your greatest vision. They just can't bear to let go of all they've known and release their needy clinging to the way things have always been. So anyone who thinks and behaves differently from them will be called abnormal. Because most people just can't break free from their past by stepping up to becoming and doing more. And rather than applauding someone with the pure guts and raw drive to innovate, recreate, and excel, the mob condemns them, shouts them down, mocks and ridicules them, becomes their loudmouth critics. But the truth of the matter is that's just the coping mechanism of individuals afraid to grow. Criticism is the defense reaction that scared people use to protect themselves against change.
Wow, fantastic insight, Anna, I replied appreciatively.
It's true. All I'm suggesting is that part of showing real leadership involves attracting the attention and condemnation of critics. Some will insult your new level of leadership thinking, others will harass your higher way of operating, yet more will oppose your passionate commitment to over-delivering. Many will become jealous of you. But, as Fulton Sheen once observed, jealousy is the tribute that mediocrity pays to genius.
Bring it on, Anna, I exclaimed enthusiastically.
As you do all you can to drive better results and influence world-class outcomes, you will meet inevitable obstacles. And as you stand out above the crowd by holding yourself to standards far higher than anyone could place on you, you will experience periods of self-doubt. But your faith in the difference you can make, and your belief in the leader you must become, has to outweigh your fear. As I suggested earlier, you must stay passionately committed to your vision and have the strength to keep expressing the absolute best within you. And that takes guts. That takes courage. That requires the fierce resolve that every great man and woman who has walked before you has tapped into. You have it, Blake. Maybe now it's time to seriously embrace it.
I definitely agree. I'm completely with you on this. What does the E in image stand for, Anna? I asked, as I realized that my meeting with the first of the four teachers was nearing the end. And though I'd only just met her this morning, I'd miss Anna, this proud and beautiful woman with a noble spirit and a flower placed delicately in her long black hair.
Ethics, came the warm yet crisp reply. Sadly, a topic a lot of business people seem to have forgotten in these fast-paced and topsy-turvy business times. Too many cut corners. They go for the cash grab. They think only about themselves. Whatever happened to good manners, excellent ethics, and remembering that doing good business is actually very good for business? Anna asked in a heartfelt tone.
Tommy joined the conversation again. You will never go wrong in doing what's right, my young friend, he observed. Never. If there's one thing I've learned about leadership success, it's that it lies at the intersection where excellence meets honor.
My grandpa used to speak a lot about honor. He would say that nothing's more important than being honest, highly dependable, staying on time, and treating people the way we want to be treated. I still remember his favorite line, "How well you make your sheets determines how well you'll sleep in your bed." I took that to mean that the way we do anything is the way we'll do everything. And even one breach against our ethics will pollute everything we touch.
Your grandfather was an extremely wise man, Blake, Anna indicated respectfully.
Nothing is more precious in work than staying consistent with your values and protecting your good name. In so many ways, your reputation is all you have. May I suggest that you never do anything that will tarnish the architecture of integrity that you'll establish as a leader without a title? Ultimately, people will flock to you or run from you based on your reputation. We live in a fascinating world. Like no other time before this, ordinary people can grow a massive following around them. With a few strokes on a keyboard, consumers can tell the world about who you are, what you've done, and all you stand for.
given this reality, maintain a pristine name and guard your personal brand by being impeccably ethical. You know, I've read about people who spent 40 years of their lives building a great reputation and a fantastic business, and then tore it all down by making one foolish move performed in 60 seconds of bad judgment. Be exquisitely honest, Blake. Say what you mean, and then mean what you say. Be ferociously humble, and vow to yourself to work with the strength of character of the people you most admire. Integrity always leads to beautiful rewards. Be courageous enough to ensure your deeds reflect your creed. And make sure that your video is in sync with your audio. Trust me on this idea, Blake. Please, trust me on this, Anna emphasized. Anna stood up from the sofa and walked over to me. She opened her arms wide and gave me a warm hug. Then she gave me two kisses, one on each cheek. It's been a pleasure to meet you, Blake, said Anna, as she slowly escorted Tommy and me out of the room, down to the lobby, and out into the autumn sunshine. You are a fine young man, and I have no doubt you will do great things in your career and with your life. Please carry with you the philosophy that you need no title to be a leader. Everyone can lead, and it all begins with you, and the choices you have the power to make. Her final words stayed with me as Tommy fired up his Porsche and we made our way through the now busy streets of Soho. There was no doubt in my mind that something deep inside of me was being dramatically rewired, and that the person I'd been was completely transforming. I was also integrating a knowing of what real leadership was truly all about. It wasn't some soft skill that you use once in a while to meet your performance goals and win some motivational contest. Leadership was so much more than that. It was a way of expressing our absolute best as human beings, and using the inner leader that inhabits each one of us not only to uplift our own lives, but also to elevate the lives of all those around us, from our teammates to the customers we are privileged to serve. I was understanding at an all-new level that leadership definitely is the single most important advantage of every world-class organization, the source of every great achievement, and the bedrock of every extraordinary life. I truly wished more people could discover the lead without a title philosophy, and I promised myself again that I'd do everything in my power to make that ideal a reality. The first leadership conversation of the Lead Without a Title philosophy. You need no title to be a leader. The five rules: innovation, mastery, authenticity, guts, ethics. Instant action step. Within the next 24 hours, record an inventory of all the areas within both your work and personal life where you are avoiding personal responsibility by playing the victim. Then, list your daily five leadership goals for each of the next 7 days to drive positive change as a leader without a title. Also, explore the resources at robinsharma.com to deepen your learning. Leadership quote to remember: money, influence, and position are nothing compared with brains, principles, energy, and perseverance. Orison Swett Marden. Chapter 5. The Second Leadership Conversation. Turbulent Times Build Great Leaders. I will persist until I succeed. I was not delivered into this world into defeat, nor does failure course my veins. I am not a sheep waiting to be prodded by my shepherd. I am a lion, and I refuse to talk, walk, and to sleep with the sheep. I will persist until I succeed. Og Mandino. Pain is temporary. Quitting lasts forever. Lance Armstrong.
I'm excited about your next meeting, said Tommy, as he parked at a lot in the stylish Tribeca area of New York City. This teacher is quite the character, Blake. Anna is obviously very special, but this one's something else. He's colorful, playful, and spontaneous, yet still enormously intelligent. In your conversation with him, he'll share the second principle of the lead without a title philosophy. You know the first one so well by now, Tommy noted. Yep, I most certainly do. You need no title to be a leader, I proudly affirmed. Excellent. So now you get to learn the second one. Which is? I asked inquisitively. Turbulent times build great leaders, came Tommy's simple yet immediate reply. Just keep in mind that difficult days never last, but strong people always do. That hard conditions are nothing more than chances to become heroic, and that challenging times in both business and in life are incredible opportunities to transform mess into success, he said with a smile. Problems and difficult days are actually good for you, my friend. Difficult days? Man, I feel like I've had a difficult decade, I replied with a grin. Tommy looked over at me. He paused. And then we both started to laugh at my comment. Good one, Blake. I like your style. I can tell you're feeling pretty good, and that makes me happy. Such great things are already happening for you. Your future really does look bright, he beamed. As we walked along one of the side streets, Tommy sang that old Rolling Stones song about not always getting what we want, but getting what we need. I sensed he was preparing me for the lesson that was coming. There's a lot of truth in the words I'm singing, Blake. Business and life itself can be so unpredictable, especially in these utterly uncertain economic times. Just when you believe you're clear on what the future's going to look like, some competitor or a new piece of technology instantly transforms the industry. Just when it feels like things will finally get back to normal, a merger takes place and the organization's never the same. Just when you think you have everything figured out, a mountain of change sideswipes you and blows you off your feet. And you'll get exactly where I'm going with that mountain metaphor in a few minutes. Tommy looked around as we briskly crossed the street. Did I tell you how excited I am for you to meet the second teacher? He asked me, his age appearing to get the better of him. You did, Tommy, I replied in a whisper. We walked into a small storefront with an old sign with hand-painted lettering on it that read, The Ty Sloan Ski Shop. The space inside was surprisingly bright, with skis and other athletic apparel neatly organized throughout the store. Numerous framed black-and-white photographs of a handsome blonde skier had been carefully hung along the walls, along with large posters with mottos like, Embrace the Fear, Hard Runs Make Better Skiers, and Conquer Your Own Everests. Behind the counter was a tall, tanned, athletic-looking man who I guessed was in his 50s. He had on a sleek icebreaker sweater, wore a tattered pair of jeans, and sported a fashionable pair of Persol sunglasses. Spotting Tommy and me, he rushed out to greet us, smiled enthusiastically, and tore off his shades in a clear gesture of friendship. Hey, dude, he shouted at Tommy as he wrapped his muscular arms around my mentor and gave him a bear hug, lifting Tommy's feet a few inches off the ground. Great to see you again, bro. How's life in the book business? Still winning all those contests with the lead without a title stuff we threw at you all those years ago? Definitely, Ty. And it's fantastic to see you too, Tommy replied with an equal degree of affection. Yes, everything's still going really well at work. You guys really set me up for some serious success with all those ideas you shared with me. You know, I'll never be able to repay you for what you did for me. My life was a disaster before that day we all spent together. But it all turned around after that, completely. The philosophy you all shared worked like some kind of a miracle cure. Thank you, Ty. Thank you, Tommy said, with obvious sincerity. No worries, dude, came the relaxed and upbeat response. All good. Hey, is this the young guy you were telling me about, Tom? I reached out my hand, but was instantly met with another giant bear hug. I could hardly breathe for a moment. My name's Ty Boyd. Good to meet you, bro. The store owner bellowed as he squeezed me. Ty, this is Blake. Blake, this is Ty Boyd. Name sound familiar? Asked Tommy, as he absentmindedly fiddled with his Mickey Mouse handkerchief. Sorry, I probably should know it, but I don't. Sorry about that, Ty, I said honestly. Hey, no sweat, Blake, that's cool. Water off a duck's back. I'm a pretty chilled guy. No ego tripping with me. As a matter of fact, I've learned that the bigger the ego, the weaker the performance. I wasn't quite sure what he meant by that comment. Tommy instantly spoke up.
Ty was 5-time world slalom skiing champion. See this picture? Tommy said, pointing to the